Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. This morning's sermon is entitled Always Be Prepared, and the text is from Matthew chapter 3, this morning's gospel. No one likes to be caught unprepared, or do you? I'm guessing you don't. Awkward moments tend to follow. Stress arises over how to handle the new situation. And embarrassment results when you fail where you should have succeeded. We have a God who wants us to be prepared. He wants us to be ready for what is to come. He tells us a lot about the future, what will happen, and what we are to expect. God wants us to succeed as well. He desires for each of us to be ready for what is coming and to handle it properly. And so he wants despair to be far from us while peace and comfort are near. And so to teach about the future, what is to come, Almighty God sent John. Even John's coming was prophesied, so that God's people could get ready for his arrival on the scene. For Isaiah the prophet wrote, "A voice cries, in the wilderness prepare the way for the Lord." John the baptizer was that voice. Malachi preserved God's word that said he would send Elijah ahead of his chosen one. Again, John was that Elijah. When the time was right, in accordance with God's will, John began his ministry out in the wilderness. It was the same wilderness that Israel had tarried in so long before. And centuries ago, before John arrived on the scene, God's chosen people struggled through that desert until God brought them into his promised land. And so God invited them to believe in him as their one true God. And by faith, this people of God left that wilderness and entered into the promised land that God had awaited for, had set aside for them as they entered in through the waters of the Jordan. And so John was calling Israel back to her past. It was time for Israel to return to faith. It was time to get ready. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And the people of Israel did have much need for repentance. They were sinners, just like you and me. Their bloodlines did not matter one bit. John angrily warned against the Pharisees and the Sadducees about their thinking that because they were descendants of Abraham, God would favor them. The truth was plain and simple in their face. The reign of heaven was in their midst. That meant the one who reigns in heaven was there in front of them. God was in their midst. He would not be impressed or dazzled by any family ties. Repentance was what mattered. Turning away from self and confessing that you are a sinner was the only way to prepare for the reign of heaven and its king. And that was what was happening out there in the wilderness. The reign of heaven was upon them, real in their midst. God was coming to his people to be with them in a way he had never been before. His presence would be known. But God wanted his people to be ready. He sent John to help get them ready. Repentance and baptism were the recipe for that readiness. There were those among Israel, among the Israelites who were offended by this message of John to repent and be baptized. They thought that they, as the chosen nation, the descendants of Abraham, they had no need to repent. And baptism was only a rite done for those who were not born of Abraham if they wanted to join the Jewish faith. It was for those who were outside that wanted to come in. The Israelites were already in. So to be told to be baptized was an offense. Now there were those Israelites who were not offended by John's message. They understood God's word all along. They never staked their hope for salvation in themselves, in their own blood. Just like it wasn't their own blood that saved their forefathers when death came upon the firstborn in Egypt, so their own blood would not save them now. They knew that the Lamb of God was foreshadowed by the Lamb of the Passover, and that that Lamb of God was indeed coming. Those faithful Israelites who trusted God's word and understood what was prophesied, they knew that John was his messenger. They knew that John was the forerunner of the Christ. So they went out to him to confess of their sins and to be baptized. And John's preaching and his baptism helped many get ready for the coming Messiah who would arrive on the scene. And that is what God wanted, readiness for his people. And he wants that still today. For long ago, John prepared the people, sinners, for the coming of the kingdom of heaven. And his words then are still for us today, especially during this season of Advent. This is the time in the church year that is set apart for us to prepare for Christmas, that glorious celebration of the birth of the Messiah, of the Christ, of Jesus. But Advent isn't just about the past. It's about the present and the future. Advent is the time of the church year, the time of our lives that reminds us now that Christ is coming again, and he will return on the last day, the final day. And that day will be a day of judgment, as we sung in the hymn just recently, and as John the Baptizer prophesied. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn. But the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. That is what lay ahead for those who reject John's message of repentance. That is the future for any who reject the Lord Jesus Christ as well, who then choose to remain in their sin. Eternal punishment is the price for refusing the Savior, God's champion, God's chosen one to bring salvation. Bloodlines will not matter. What you've done and what you haven't done will not matter. All of that will be stripped away when you stand before Almighty God. All that will matter on that day is whether or not God sees you as clothed in the righteousness of Christ. All that will matter on that day is that you have been baptized into Jesus, put into the Son of God, and the triune name is upon you. All that will matter on that day is that you humbly received the means of grace in this life that God so freely gave to you as Jesus' word of the gospel was proclaimed to you and as he fed you with his own body and blood in his sacraments. For those who do not have Christ with them on that day of his return, John's dreaded words stand as their reward. But for you, who have Christ with you and Christ in you, when he returns, a new life awaits you. Your soul, which would have left the body behind, will have been rejoined with the body, then made glorious, perfect, and incorruptible, to remain together, united forever. You will not suffer again. You will not sin. You will not hurt, and you will inherit the new heavens and the new earth that Christ will usher in. The crown of righteousness and of life, a real crown, will be placed upon your head. You will not die again. You will live forever, body and soul united permanently, beyond any permanence that this life can even offer. And what you will behold is as Isaiah prophesied, the wolf allowing a lamb to live with him, the leopard napping with a baby goat, a tiny calf sitting next to a lion, all with a little child leading them. This awaits you, and so much more. And God wants you to be ready for that, for the return of his Son. And he will return, even though it may not seem like it will actually happen as we move farther and farther away from the days of his ascension. But he will return. It is certain. It is God's word. And he will not fail. When will Christ return? Well, that doesn't really matter if we are always prepared for that return. And our gracious God does make it possible for us to always be prepared. For he has placed his holy name upon us, marking us with his name, marking us as his own. Jesus speaks his word to us often, as it is read and as it is preached, leading us to repent of ourselves, to confess our sins that we have done against him, and then forgiving us of those sins through his precious word. And Jesus feeds us so often with his own flesh and blood, keeping us in him, forgiving us our sins, and giving us his life forever. That is how God prepares you. That is how he prepares all of us. In Jesus, believing in him alone for salvation, God sees you as ready for the return of Christ, for his coming. Because of Jesus, incarnate as one of us, as celebrated at Christmas, because of that Jesus, you stand ready. God looks at you, and he sees his Son. He sees the Christ. Your sins are hidden. They are forgiven. Christ is coming. You are ready, for God has made you so. Amen. And now the peace that passes all understanding that comes from Christ who has made us ready. Guard and keep your hearts and minds in him until his return. Amen.